case of the day, Sean Quay v. Holder, appeal number 093512. I apologize if I mispronounced Mr. Hsieh.
Yes, Nathaniel Hsieh. May it please the Court. Your Honor, this case, the petition for review zeroes in on the single issue of whether or not petitioner has met his burden of proof in establishing well-founded fear of future persecution if he were to return to China. I think because in the lower courts, the IJ has found the petitioner to be completely credible, and also the attorneys at the immigration court level and also the BIA level for petitioner had conceded that no persecution exists. So the issue before this court is the proper determination of a well-founded fear of future persecution. And I think the lower court of the IJ and also the BIA, by adopting the IJ's decision in this case, made three errors that required a remand of this case. Number one, the statute, ACFR 1208, says, in determining whether or not there is a well-founded fear of future persecution, the applicant does not have to prove that he was personally singled out. Rather, he can choose the alternative by establishing a pattern of persecution of a protected group and also identify himself with that protected group. That by themselves should be sufficient to prove that a well-founded fear of future persecution. And I don't think the immigration judge in this case did that. Rather, he did exactly what the statute instructed him not to do by adding the extra requirement that to prove that petitioner had to show somehow he was singled out, as opposed to what the statute said not to. The second error the IJ made, I think, applies to the weight that was given to the two summonses the petitioner received while after he escaped China. And the IJ said little weight should be given to these two summonses that he should report to the police in China because according to ACFR 287.6 that these were not substantiated or because they were official records. And I think the court has, this court has repeatedly stated in precedents that official records should be authenticated, but is not the only exclusive method to determining whether such evidence should be given any weight.
Well, if he still goes back, or if he were sent back, and they summons him again, what is the persecution? If he gets a fine or 30 days in jail or something, I don't know what they do over there.
Yeah, Your Honor.
What is that, persecution, or is that just violation? I mean, I realize that,
yes,
that Falun Gong is treated differently in different places, but that's
Your
the
Honor,
fear of persecution.
Falun Gong is determined to be evil cult according to the Chinese government, and over 100,000 people have been sent to labor camps in China. Over 6,000 are, you know, jailed for long term, on a long term basis. So, if with petitioner in this case, when he was summoned and he would be arrested, like his master, and would face the same fate that the rest of the 100,000 people faced in China, there's no reason to say that he would be punished administratively. Even the country report stated that the punishment is still severe to this very date.
Did the immigration judge fully or accurately portray the situation reported in these country reports?
Your Honor, I think the immigration judge in his statement leading to his oral opinion opined that the punishment of the Falun Gong practitioners are still severe, according to the country report. He did state that. So to answer your question, Your Honor.
Is a follower or a leader? This is a difficult thing because we don't know in the different
yes.
from different provinces they do different things.
Yeah, Your Honor, I think the question about if you are a core leader of the Falun Gong practice, or rather be a follower, somehow the punishment will be dramatically different. But this comes to my assertion that the IJ made the third error, that is, in isolating all these incidents of claims or evidence presented by the petitioner, but rather in looking at the totality of the circumstances for the cumulative effect. Because in this case, you're talking about petitioner was part of a group of 20 people who was set in front of the Chinese consulate here in Chicago on a daily basis for no less than 4 months. And that's 20 people out of over a billion people who were brave all the risks and come out to say that they're against the Chinese government in their persecution of the Falun Gong practice.
Well, have you gotten over here and then done what he's done over here, that you're saying that exacerbates the problem just because they'll know that, and now if he goes back, then he will have all that added baggage? Is that what you're trying to say, in addition to just having past practice of Falun Gong?
Oh, absolutely, Your Honor.
And that sort of rewards the escape, and it makes and by protesting and doing all that, greatly increases his profile.
Yes.
And exposure to punishment, whereas for what he just had done in the past, perhaps that may not have been much. Now, maybe that's a different type of argument, and maybe that's something we consider, but that
Your Honor,
seems to be where the problem is.
I think the fact that this case comes before this court, his name is printed on it, and the fact it's known that he's practiced in front of the consulate.
Well, sure. He wasn't hiding. He was letting
yes.
everybody know this is where he is.
Yes, and he's already been identified.
Right.
So, Your Honor, so
purposely, right?
For that reason, I don't think there's an underlying notion of a protection of free speech and encouragement of people who want to promote the freedom of religion, wherever they are, whether it be in China or in the U.S. Find the revenue to the avenue to protest, make their statement known right in front of the embassy here, and then to a government that is still condemns and persecutes people who express exactly that, the freedom of religion. And I think in this case he was brave enough to demonstrate what a very few out of a big country. And that certainly carries, according to a reasonable, standard, a significant risk. I think this court has said in the prior decisions that even a 10% possibility of persecution is enough to satisfy the reasonableness. Of a fear of welfare of fear. Yes, Your Honor.
I want to return to the question I asked before to make sure there was no misunderstanding between the two of us.
Okay.
On page 9 of the immigration judge's ruling,
okay,
at the back of your brief, he describes the country reports.
Yes, Your Honor.
And he says that the country reports indicate that practitioners receive punishments ranging from possible loss of employment to imprisonment. The report also suggests that although the vast majority of practitioners detained have been released, many were detained again after release. If you look on page 19 of the country report. That language appears, but the language also appears that Falun Gong practitioners have been sentenced to prison, more than 100,000 practitioners sentenced to re-education through labor, and 3,000 have died from torture while in custody. Now, my question to you was, did the IJ accurately reflect the country report in his decision?
I don't think he did in that respect. I think the country report portrayed a much severe picture of persecution than he had based his opinion upon, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Hogan.
May it please the court. My name is Brendan Hogan. I represent the respondent.
Keep your voice up, please.
I apologize.
Hold the mic toward you a little bit. There you go.
My name is Brendan Hogan. I represent the respondent, Attorney General Eric H. Holder. In the present case, the petition for review should be denied because substantial evidence supports the agency's decision. First, in the opening argument, counsel stated that the agency ignored the petitioner's pattern and practice claim. But as pointed out in our brief at page 26, note 3, that argument was never exhausted. It was never raised before the immigration judge, and it was never raised in his brief to the board. And therefore, because he hasn't exhausted his administrative remedies, the court should not consider that argument today. Further, with regard to the country report, Your Honor, respectfully, the immigration judge's decision does accurately reflect the treatment of Falun Gong practitioners. For example, he did acknowledge that core leaders are often singled out for harsh punishment. But unfortunately for the petitioner in this case, at page 202 of the record, it states that rank-and-file practitioners are usually punished administratively, a loss of employment or an economic fine. That would be more consistent with the petitioner in this case, who was never a core leader. He briefly practiced for 3 months. He came to this country and did no Falun Gong activities for 2 years. His first Falun Gong activity in this country didn't occur until August of 2007. Moreover, to counsel's claim that the agency didn't cumulatively analyze the effects of his Falun Gong actions, notably, his only evidence that the Chinese government is aware of his activities in this country is at page 113 of the record, where his witness stated that there was a security camera outside the Chinese consulate, and it was pointing out, and it may or may not have recorded him. But unfortunately for the petitioner, at page 136 of the record, he testified that in December of 2007, 3 months after he had allegedly been recorded on tape as participating in protests in this country every week, the police came to his parents' house and said, "Where is your son?" Evidently, they're not aware that he's participated in any protests in this country, and therefore it's unlikely he'll be harmed upon his return. And just point out that, as this court stated in Nzhev, I believe is the case, the summonses in this case at page 285 and 288 merely say, "Please report for investigation." There was no threat of harm. At the letters from his aunt and mother at pages 249 and 255 merely told them that your son needs to surrender and that we will be back until the case closes. But there was no threat of any kind of harm whatsoever. And therefore, the board was correctly determined that the petitioner in this case is not objectively established a reasonable fear of well-founded fear of future persecution.
Is there any records, maybe in country report or something, where people, and I don't want to be hypothetical, but those who lose their petitions after they've paid a lot of money to get out and are sent back?
Counsel's not aware of any kind of scenario like that contained in the...
You don't know what happens to people who are sent back. Are they being sent back?
Are you saying the Department of Homeland Security on a case-by-case basis, Your Honor? It depends on the circumstances.
Well, after they lose here, for instance.
It depends on a variety of factors. For one, the cooperation of the petitioner, whether the government in question will issue travel documents and also the resources of the Department of Homeland Security. Obviously, a criminal alien would take precedence.
Well, the purge of Falun Gong continues in China, and the country reports report that. So aren't you saying that if he goes back, he has to choose then not to practice the religion or face the inevitable sanction?
Not at all, Your Honor.
Might be?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Not at all, Your Honor. Again, as at page 202 of the record, if he goes back, or when he goes back, it's most likely that he'll be punished administratively, a loss of employment or maybe an economic fine. But
I'm not sure what that means. Does that mean administratively with fewer procedures, or?
Again, Your Honor, it was the petitioner's burden in this case to describe what he fears, what will happen to him when he goes back. And at pages 137 to 138 and also at page 144, he was asked repeatedly, what are you afraid of? And he just said, I am afraid I may be arrested. He hasn't met his burden of proof. He hasn't explained what, in fact, he fears will happen to him personally. And does the panel have any other questions?
Does not appear we do.
Yeah. Thank you, Your Honor.
How much time remaining? No time, but I'll give you another minute.
Okay.
1 minute.
Senator, I just want to be very quick about this. I think in the Ayala case, A-Y-E-L-E, cited by the government, that this court has held that, similar to this case, that the argument that the petitioner has not exhausted the argument on the argument of the existence of pattern of past persecution is not persuasive. And I think in this case, the attorney for petitioner at the immigration court level and also with the attorney who filed the appeal for petitioner before the BIA both argued about the fear of future persecution and the existence of crackdown on Falun Gong and its continued crackdown, which amount to their argument for establishing the pattern of past persecution. And I think that argument was made, and it was exhausted. Therefore, I think if the court find that that we have exhausted that that argument before the lower levels, and then this court must find that the lower courts have erred judicially by not following 8 CFR 1208, that petitioner has satisfied that he is a Falun Gong practitioner, and there is a pattern of persecution against this protected group in China. And having identified both, he has established his well-founded fear of future persecution, and this case should be remanded.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you to both counsel, and this will be taken under advisement.